The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome. Hey, it's been a while since I've been on the air. And as you can tell from my voice, it's a little bit deeper than normal. Still getting over a bit of a chest cold, and my wife likes the voice, but that's just what it is for now. Hey, look, if you want to give me a call, we're live. It's January 18th, 2022, and there's nobody waiting right now, so all you got to do is give me a call at 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. So, I hope you guys all had a good time, and, you know, how'd Luke do? What do you think? How'd Luke do for the... that's right, Happy T-Shirt Tuesday, that's right, Laura. So how did Luke do on the week? I actually watched, and I thought he did a good job. You know, he did a good job, and he got a good, just a good drowning in a lot of what it takes to do radio, and learn how to coordinate and juggle at the same time, but I thought he did a great job. So, you know, give me a call, tell me what you thought of him, you know. Do you like him? You want to hear him on again? Things like that, I'm sure you do. So there you go. Boy, all right. Now we got nobody waiting. No, they've got one caller coming in. Good. And, I got so much stuff coming on my phones, and all of a sudden everything happens right at once. Boy, I'll tell you, I was out of the... It worked, coincidentally. It worked really well by God's providence. My voice was shot last week. I could hardly talk, like laryngitis type thing. And we just talk it like this, you know, all the time. So it worked out great that Luke filled in. We had that planned, and the idea is to get him on once every about every 3 months, just so he can do the show, because we can get him ready, you know, and just do stuff like that. Using him, he's a good guy. All right, we've got three open lines, 877-207-2276. Well, why don't we do it? Oh, I want to say something before. I want to say thanks. Make sure I thank every one of you who supported us in the matching funds drive. Now, I know I already did, but I think I did it once or twice. I just want to make sure that all of you know, really thankful very much for what you did. We had a good turnout, and it really is going to help us. The matching funds drive is really going to help us a lot. We'll be able to meet our bills for the insurance stuff we got to do and all the stuff we got to, you know, all the stuff, the standard stuff we got to do in ministry, but we want to thank you for that. All right, let's get to the callers. Let's get to, let's see, somebody, Moore from North Carolina. Hey, Moore, welcome.
Hey,
you on the air.
Matt, glad you're back. I called you before. I'm a regular listener, and I called you several times.
Okay.
Straight to the point. I know you have other callers. You know, every time they say about during the revelation, you know,
yeah,
will be all turned to Israel, you know, in that part of the world. Is America has any place for in the future, in the end time? Do we have a part of it, or I want to...
Yeah. Yeah, it says all the nations will be gathered against Israel. That means America will be gathered against Israel, and judgment will come. So America is not some special nation that, because we're Americans, we have a special right, a special privilege. The only right that we have and the privilege we have as a nation founded on the principles of Christ and the Puritans that came over here, and so much of that. A lot of people don't like that, but it is the truth. We have the obligation to preach and teach that gospel to the whole nation, to all the world. We've not done that, and now the judgment of God's falling upon us. And it'll continue to fall upon us. And I believe our nation's going to suffer a lot because of the socialist agenda that's being pushed and other stuff. So, no, there's nothing in Scripture that singles out the United States other than to say that other nations
will be gathered. Are you saying that, who knows, maybe not in our lifetime, in your lifetime, my lifetime, so America will be another country that dominate the world, and America will be like a Rome?
If the socialists get their way, America will collapse. That's just the way it is. People don't understand what socialism is. The children have been brainwashed in the schools. The leftist media likes the idea of conservatives being punished, conservative ideas being ridiculed, and they like socialism. They want fairness and equity for all, so they go socialist. And we want everybody to be fair, everybody to be equitable. Okay, well, when you look at the Nazi Party, which was socialist, you look at Venezuela, which was socialist, you see what happened. And the ignorant who don't know and don't study history don't understand that in socialism, the socialist people who hold that, what they want is more government control, more government morality, which ultimately is secular, and less personal freedom. And this is what destroys nations. Okay.
But you think then, Matt, you study a lot. So you think Europe will be, or the whole Europe will come back to its glory, and there will be another, America today, or like a Roma?
No.
In the future?
No, I believe, my personal belief is, which I could be wrong on, is that things are just going to get worse and worse, and that the world is going to bring itself to totalitarian control under the Antichrist, and that he is going to seek to destroy the Christians. And he will probably utilize Muslims to do that, and secularists to do that, and persecute the faithful. And things are just going to get worse.
I hope America will remain as this for more in our lifetime, in your lifetime, in your grandchildren or children's lifetime. But yeah, I don't see it in the prophecy. I don't see any America be or United States there. But I want to ask you that, and I want to hear your take on that. And
yeah.
But anyway, no, I'm glad you're back, and I love listening to you every day. And God bless you, and more years for you. Hope you have more years to do this thing.
Well, thank you. By God's grace, hopefully we can. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Okay. All right. Talk to you later. All right. Let's get to Phil from North Carolina. Phil, welcome. You're on the air. Phil. Hello.
Hi.
Hey. How you doing?
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're
good
on the air,
how
buddy.
Are you?
Oh, except for a little bit of a chest cold. Other than that, I'm doing fine. I'm just irritating my wife a lot, so I know I'm getting better.
There's no echo, is there?
No. You're fine.
No.
You're fine. I don't hear any echo.
All right. Yeah, I got you playing through my car. Hey, I wanted to say, I've been a SiriusXM listener for years and years and years, and I bought a new car, and it doesn't have the XM. Found this channel and found you by accident, and I have actually just fallen in love with your show. It's excellent. You do great work. Thank you for all that you do.
Oh, well, that just shows how smart you are.
Super good job.
Thanks.
So, to the question, I was raised and have always held to a pre-trib end for myself.
Yeah.
But that's just always what's been fed to me from the churches that I have attended.
Right.
I've started to do my own study and diving into this as deeply as I can. And I am of the mindset now that I don't believe that this pre-trib is going to be the way things are going to be. I think it's going to be more of an in-trib pre-wrath right there in the very end of it all.
All right.
Before Christians are raptured, and I've heard you speak on it, but I've never gotten to get to the end of what you were saying.
All right.
I had to get out of the car and do whatever.
Okay.
So I was curious about that, and where do you think we are in this process? Do you think we're getting close to 50? I'll be 50 in March. Is this something where we're going to see in our lifetime? And I know you don't know the answer, just what you're feeling, your spirit tells you, what you think.
Well, I look at the church, who has said every decade the rapture is going to happen in a few years. It's been wrong repeatedly. But I don't know when the tribulation is going to come or the Antichrist is going to be revealed. I'm 65, so it may be in my lifetime. It may not be. It could be. I don't have any problem with that. It could not be. I don't have any problem with that. But I'm with you. I believe we're going to go through the tribulation period. I don't see pre-trib rapture any place in Scripture. And I'd be willing to debate people on that in a polite, friendly debate, because it's an in-house debate. But I just don't see it in Scripture. I hope that the pre-trib people are right. What I do see is when it says two men in the field and one is taken and one is left, that the context is that the wicked are the ones who are taken. And this is not my radical view. You just read the context. And 100% of the time when I've shown people the context of that those scriptures, they've agreed. That's what it says. Yeah, it's the wicked who are taken. And so what bothers me is that pastors so frequently will quote that out of Matthew 24 and Luke 17, saying that those are about the rapture, when it clearly is not. It just is not. The rapture occurs, but that's not the place for it. But what gets me is Jesus says in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat are the Christians, the elect, and the tares are the unbelievers. And Jesus says, allow both to go together till the end of the age. And I'll say to the reapers, first gather the tares. Now that really, throws a monkey wrench into a lot of stuff, because there's only two ages, this age and the age to come. And that's a whole other study. And so Jesus and Paul says at the end of the age, and at the end of the age is when the wicked are gathered before the Christians are gathered. Well, that's new to a lot of people. They've never heard it, but it's right there in Matthew 13:30. Just read the whole context, 10 verses before and 10 verses after. So I don't see the pre-trib rapture being a possibility. I think we're going to go through all of it. I think it's going to get worse and worse, and the Christians are going to be persecuted heavily. That's my opinion. Yeah, I call it depreschatology.
I agree. And a lot of people say that after chapter 4 in Revelation, the church isn't mentioned anymore because they're gone. And
that's not true.
It may not say the church. Yeah, it's not true. And if you just read on, it's there.
Yeah, the 24 elders. Over and 24 elders are considered to be the church. And so what they do, in my opinion, is they look at Revelation as though it is the most clear chronological book. And after chapter 4, the church isn't mentioned. Therefore, the rapture occurs. In other words, it's not mentioned. That's why the rapture is pre-trib rapture is true. Even though Jesus says in Matthew 24, after the tribulation of those days, he will send forth his angels to gather his people. It clearly says that in Matthew 24. And so what I find that they'll do, and I'm getting, probably stepping on people's toes, I find that they read into Revelation what they want it to say. That's my opinion. I like to go with the clear stuff, not the not so clear stuff.
And I will say one last thing. I have always, since I developed this new thought process, I have.
Hold on.
Part of me wanted to.
Hold on, we got a break. Hold on, okay? We've got to take a hard break, so we'll be right back, okay? Phil, hold on. Hey, folks, one open line. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We have one open line if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, Phil, sorry about the break there. You still there?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay, so go ahead.
So, yeah, I'll wrap this up real quick because I know you got a lot of other people wanting to get on. And talk to you. So part of my thought process too in the beginning was that I was, I'm a strong Second Amendment supporter. And
me too.
Guns are just kind of part of my life, and I thought I was going to be you know, strapping on the AR and getting the Waffle PDP and going into battle with other Christians against the Antichrist, and it was going to be a, you know, blood sport at the end. But the more I've prayed, I mean, the more I've prayed and the more I've sought good answers, one answer that was handed to me through some studying was that I guess we're supposed to go through those times, if we are to go through those times, much more like Christ. And when
right.
when it comes up, when we're supposed well, to think he's going to give us the word, and we are supposed to just kind of chill. I mean, we're not supposed to go.
Not necessarily.
Go to war. I mean, maybe prayerfully.
Not necessarily.
Spiritually, but mm-mm. Okay. Well, but yeah, please enlighten me on that too, because I'm a little.
Okay, you know, let me help you out.
I'm not
I have sure. an article. Have you been to my website yet? Carm.org, carm.org. Have you been there?
No.
You should check it out. It's huge. I've been working on it for 26 years and got thousands of articles there. And you can do a search, and you can go to the CARM website, or just go to Google and type in CARM, and then type in the Christian's right of self-defense, for example. And you can come up to the article, you can see. And Christians have the right of self-defense. So this article, for example, that I've written, I wrote at the request of somebody that we know in Nigeria, where the Muslims are coming into villages with AK-47s and shooting up Christians and killing people because they're Christians. And so the Nigerians' churches were teaching the Christians, you can't do anything, you can't fight back, because that's what Jesus didn't do. He didn't fight back, so you can't do anything. They failed to understand that Jesus did not fight back because he was sent. He came there for the purpose of going to the cross. When he comes back the second time, he's coming back with a sword. But in the meantime, he said to the disciples, right. in Luke 22:36, he says, sell your cloak and buy a sword. And he sent them out to the world, in the world, with a sword. Now, he didn't say, each one of you get a sword, but he says, buy, you know, sell a cloak and get a sword. The implication is we have the right of self-defense and not of vengeance. So if someone comes into my home, and I'm there with my wife, and someone's kicking down that door, well, I'm a, let's just say, a strong Second Amendment supporter as well. I will take care of any intruder that comes into the house, because I have that right to defend myself and my wife. And there's no sin in that. May it never happen, but there's no sin in that. We have the right of self-defense. If someone wants to persecute me because I'm a Christian, I have the right of self-defense, but I like to say to people, not the obligation. It may be wise at that time to receive persecution in order to, depending on the circumstance and what you feel that God is doing with you, in order to accomplish God's will. But it might be that we're supposed to resist. Personally, I believe all the Christian pastors should be teaching proper resistance theology from an oppressive, socialistic, tyrannical government, which is increasing in America. And I believe the Christians, if they sit and do nothing, they're the ones who are at fault, because they're the ones who know better. And the Christian pastors should be teaching periodically, as the word requires it, the obligation of us to defend our homes, our families, and in, when necessary, to defend our rights. Because we're losing them in this country. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. We need to do it peacefully. But we have the right of self-defense.
So,
right.
So basically it comes down to, it's going to be a personal, situational
right.
kind of thing. Depending on how it's going, what's it's going.
That's right.
To, how you need to act and react.
That's right. See, I actually carry. I live in Idaho, so I can carry, and I've taken years of martial arts. So I'm well-trained and well-capable of defending myself and others. But what's going to happen in a real situation? I may do absolutely nothing and allow myself to be injured. I won't allow my wife to be injured, you know, or my children or my right. friends, if you know what I mean. But when it comes to yourself, it's a different issue. Then what do? You have the right of self-defense, but not the obligation. But it does seem that we have the obligation to defend the helpless, and that article talks about it. The article talks about the obligation of Christians to defend the helpless. And so, if I'm in a store and I'm carrying and I hear gunshots in a store, I'm going towards that sound instead of away from the sound. That's how I am. I just go towards the problem. What's that?
CARM.org.
Yep. Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. Okay. .org, and then just to brag, it's had 147 million visitors. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I will definitely check that out and read some of your articles.
Well,
thank
you
again, like I said, for all that you do, and this is a great program. Great program.
Well,
keep it going.
Let them know at the Truth Network that you appreciate what they do, because it's a good group. It is.
Will do.
All right, man. God bless, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right. Hey, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Now we have three open lines because we lost somebody. And you want to talk about faith, which would have been a really good question. We've got, let's see, Mike next and then Wayne after that. So let's get to Mike. Well, let's, they're dropping like flies. Four open lines, folks, 877-207-2276. Give me a call, okay? Let's see, Wayne, hey. They're there. Give me a call. I mean, you're on the air, buddy.
Hey, there? Matt. Is this Wayne from San Diego?
Ooh, where in San Diego? I used to live in San Diego.
Vista.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to live in Escondido.
It's actually Ray, not Wayne. Sorry, I think you're
saying Ray. Oh, that's all right. Ray, yeah, I used to live in Escondido.
Not Wayne.
Yeah. San Diego's nice.
That's my area.
Yep. Okay, so what's up, buddy?
So, question. Yeah. Sorry. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for everything you've been supporters since the start of this thing. You in 2017. So keep up the good work. You have more support than you know. But my question is: two married couples, friends, good friends. Okay. One not Catholic, the other Catholic couple. The Catholic couple asked the non-Catholic couple, who's Christian, to be the godparents of their baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't find an article on Farm, but I did find some stuff on Catholic sites, like Catholic Answers and whatnot. And, you know, obviously there's division in the Catholic Church, but the more conservative Catholics will say that the godparents, since it's a sacrament, that baptism is a sacrament, the godparents should be Catholic.
Right. What I would do
is...
It's okay. We got a break. Hold on. We got a break. Okay. So hold on. And hey, folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Wayne, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Still here.
All right, so we had a break there. So go ahead. You want me to just comment about the Catholic godparents thing, or you got something else in there you want to add?
So I guess the main question is on our end, is there anything stopping the non-Catholic from going ahead and acting as the godparents for the Catholic?
It depends.
A baby.
Oh, no. Christians can't participate in the heresies of the Roman Catholic Church. They cannot participate
in any of their sacraments.
No, their sacraments are false, except for baptism and the Lord's Supper. But they say the Lord's Supper is the Eucharist, the actual body and blood of Christ, which is not true. It violates Levitical law. And they say baptism is the means by which you get saved. And that's in paragraph 2068. You know, you obtain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. And so the Roman Catholic Church is a false church. It's not a true church. It's basically a humongous cult. And it teaches a false gospel. So if a Christian wants to be the godparents or agrees to be the godparents of Catholic faith, of Catholic people, you got to lay the law down. Say, I will not encourage, I love the child, but I can't encourage them in Catholic theology. See, I was asked once, for example, to be in a Catholic wedding because I helped a guy in a very serious situation And long story short, he says, look, I'm going to get married now. Would you be in the wedding? And I said, yeah, I would be glad to, but I can't participate in any of the ceremonies that are what I believe to be unscriptural. And I said, I'm not trying to be mean. You know, he understood. And so they had a place in the ceremony where everybody, the wedding party, went over and bowed, kneeled before a statue of Mary and then offered up something to Mary. I just stood there. And everybody in the church saw me standing there while everybody else went over that. And he was okay with that. So, you know, you can't compromise your faith. But if they would let you be the ones who take care of the children if and when something were to happen to them, you cannot say, yeah, I'll raise them in the Catholic faith. Of course I would raise them in something that would damn them to eternal hell. You can't do that.
Okay. Right, so if I may, Matt. So the traditional reason for baptism of being somebody to step in if something happens to the parents and taking care of the child and being a spiritual advisor, I have no problem with those roles, and I have no problem telling them,
good.
Because we love them, they're good people. It's like, I love you, I'll be happy to take on this role and this responsibility, but I'm not going to counsel them as a Catholic. I'm going to counsel them as a Reformed Protestant, basically. You know, and if you're okay with that, then I'm okay with that, and we can do this. But so the other thing is, you said don't take part in a ceremony if it's a heretic ceremony. So would infant baptism in a Catholic church be a heretic ceremony?
Ooh, now that's a tough one. See, I personally affirm infant baptism, but not for salvation. I affirm it as a covenant sign. So I'm a covenant theologian. And if you disagree, that's okay. I'm not going to, you know, whatever. But the Catholic view is that it removes original sin and saves them in that process. So if I'm at a Catholic church and they baptize a baby, and if someone asked me to go and watch that, I would go and watch it. I would not believe that the baby was saved because of that baptism. And I would believe that the Catholics there were all in error. But I could go. I'm not going to be polluted by it. I could go. I would not participate in it. Like they ask, you know, we want you to come up and be in the party. Sorry, I can't do that. You know, that kind of a thing. Makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So just continuing on down this line of thought, since I've done my research, they're not obviously on the more conservative end of the Catholic spectrum, because if they were, they would only have Catholics be their godparents or their kids.
Right.
And they must belong to a church who thinks it's okay for non-Catholics to be the godparents and willing to do that ceremony with the godparents not being Catholic, or else I assume they did their research on that, or else
right.
wouldn't be happening. But they did tell us that we do have to take the class or whatever from any Catholic church organization. Just take the class about it. So I'm sure when I take the class, and I'll learn more about it. And then could it be just a judgment call on our part? Is
sure.
Take part of it as long as we're open and honest with them.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any problem with that.
We're not participating. Yeah, because we're not. Yeah. I understand there's like a fine line there between participation in the ceremony if you're
right
giving outward expression or belief to a heretical doctrine versus doing something that everybody knows is above board. This is what we believe in. Just doing this as a
very good,
you know, as a
right,
as a friendship type thing, not believing sure. in that official talk.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, you could go to that class and you could learn. Nothing wrong with going to a Catholic class on what that means to them. You would know what areas to say. Sorry, I can't participate in that, but I can in this. You don't violate the scriptures. And if it works, great. It's much more of an opportunity, potentially, for you to be able to witness to the true God and true gospel later, should, not that we want anything to happen, should something happen to the parents. You know?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Good for you.
Great.
Hey, that'd what's the weather like?
For you or Luke to write an article on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. What's the weather like there in Vista?
We had a mild dusting of showers overnight, but you know it's amazing. You know, mid 60s.
Oh yeah. Yeah, when I lived in Escondido.
Visit from Idaho. Yeah, my cousin just visited from Idaho and came over the house 2 days ago, and they're basically spending 2 months out here.
Yeah.
Because they can't do the entire winter.
Yeah, I used to say that it was illegal to get below 60 in San Diego and that we had winter on a Tuesday and we were done. So it was nice. But anyway. All right, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Hope that helps.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for everything you do. Take care.
All right. God bless. Hey, folks, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Why don't you give me a call, and we can talk. Let's get to Andrew from Chicago. Andrew, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Good evening, my time.
Good evening.
I just want to start off by saying thank you for all the service you do for our Lord.
Praise God.
And I just have a quick question in regards to faith. Being an attribute of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, not that God needs to believe in anything.
I don't understand. I'm confused right away. I'm confused. Faith being an attribute of the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
I don't know what that means, because an attribute of God would be something like His omniscience, omnipotence, His omnipresence. Faith is something that He grants to us, Philippians 1:29. I don't know of any issue where God has faith.
Correct, and I understand that. And I had a conversation come up recently. That's why I wanted to call and hear what you have to say about it. But my question is, would we attribute faith to ourselves within a fallen nature, or would we attribute faith to be an attribute of God, as in He's the one?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, attribute is not the right word in that context. So now I understand what you're saying. You'd say, is it the work of God? So let me read some verses to you. You know, Philippians 1:29 says, to you it has been granted to believe, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. It has been granted to believe. And has been granted is what's called the aorist passive indicative. That means it's the past tense, and that the person who's doing this believing is receiving the action, where God is granting that they believe. They do the believing, but God grants it to them. It's a spiritual mystery we could talk about. And then Jesus says in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. So if you believe in Jesus, the true Jesus, then it's because God has granted you belief, and it's the work of God that you believe. So notice what it says. It's the work of God. So He does this work in you that you believe. So you're actually doing the believing. It's weird, but that's what it says.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. And my question was, we would say that it's God powerfully working through us by the working of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That allows us to be able to have living faith and believe in God the Father in Christ by the indwelling and the work of the Holy Spirit, correct?
Yeah, I like that. That all sounds good. You're giving all the glory to God. We actually do the believing, but God works it in us. It's a bit of a mystery, a paradox, but there's ways to unpack it. But we don't have time now. But that's it. All right, buddy, there's the break. All right, Andrew, God bless, man. Okay. God bless. Hey, folks, three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everyone. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Zach from Florida. Zach, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Good to be with you.
Hey,
so
thanks.
My question is, I have a friend who says God talks to him through his dreams, like he uses his deceased grandfather to tell him certain things in these dreams, like certain jobs to take or things to do, or things that have to do with decisions in his life at the moment. And I was wondering if there's anything in Scripture that talks about that, other than, like, God talking to Joseph in his dreams. But that's the only thing that I can think of. I didn't know if God actually does that to us today.
Yeah, he does. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter's quote in the Old Testament, and he says, your old men will dream dreams and the like. And this is in the last days, so yes, it's going to happen. Just so you know, Muslims all over the Middle East are having visions and dreams of Jesus and are coming to faith, and Iran has one of the largest underground Christian churches because of it. So, no problem. Now, is this guy getting real dreams? It doesn't sound like it to me. His father, his grandfather's appearing to him in dreams and telling him stuff. Yeah. It really causes me to worry about that. Now he's looking to dreams as his source of truth and direction instead of Scripture. And that's a problem.
Okay. Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like... there's some problems there, and of course, what's a dream? I mean, is it, how do you know it's from God or not? How do you know it isn't just your own desires manifesting in dreams? So how do you know? Well, he's just going to say it and believe it. Well, what'll probably happen with him is he'll get further and further into heresies and move away from the Lord. And say, well, I'm just going with the dreams, and he'll move into a New Age movement where dreams and visions and getting in tune with the other world becomes more of an issue. So it's possible.
So I just have to keep on him and make sure he's reading Scripture and following God's truth and not his own will, I guess.
Right. Tell him to subject the dreams to Scripture, because that's the final authority, not his subjective dreams. How does he know they're coming from God? He can believe they are, but doesn't mean they are. He has to go to Scripture. So always point him to Scripture as the final authority for us today here in the world. That's what we need, and that's what needs to happen. And when people get away from that final authority, they start believing all kinds of stuff. You know, all kinds of stuff. Okay?
Amen. God's word is our standard.
That's
thanks,
right.
Matt.
All right, buddy. God bless. Hey, we have four open lines with one guy waiting. No, Natasha's waiting. So if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Natasha, welcome. You're on the air.
What's up, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling a little bit better. My voice is starting to come back. And so my wife likes it when I talk to her now. Normally, she doesn't like me talking to her. She keeps away from me and throws things at me when I get near. But when I have a voice like this, then she wants to hear me say something. Usually, it's how great she is. You know, then she'll listen. You know, other than that, that's okay.
Okay, amen to that, because I like your voice too.
I'm in trouble now. But go ahead. What have you got?
Okay, so, Matt, I've been listening to you every day. About 8 months ago, I rededicated my life to the Lord. Hallelujah, amen. So, I'm in my Bible. So, my question is to you. Is God going to be upset with me because I'm trying to make some money on Saturday, on the Sabbath day, so I can take care of my kids?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Now, our Sabbath is Sunday. Now, I have a friend who won't buy or sell on Sunday. And that's just his thing. He doesn't put it on anybody else. If I say, hey, want to go to a movie on Sunday? He goes, can't do it. Oh, that's right, I forgot. So what? That's what he wants to do. And he doesn't push anybody else. He's free to do that or free not to do that. You're free to work on Saturday. No problem. Work on Saturday. Make money for your kids. You can do that. It's good to have one day a week where you dedicate to the Lord, and usually that's Sunday. But what if the job you've got that provides for your family only allows you to be off on Tuesday and Wednesday? Then what do you do? You get the job and you have a worship day on Tuesday or Wednesday and a rest day on one of those days that you give to the Lord. It's okay.
Hallelujah. Amen for that, Elsa. I'll make it do what it do.
That's right, because that's what Romans 14 is telling us. See, one of the illustrations I give to people is, let's say that there's some people on a plane and they crash in the middle of the ocean. and they're in a big raft, five or six, seven of them, and they're just for days and days. They've got, you know, enough nourishment and stuff, and they barely survive, and they forget what day is what. Their phones are all dusted. Their watches are all dusted. They, you know, they're just out there. They land on an island. What day is it? They're not sure. Okay, now what do they do for the worship day? Well, they have to worship on the proper day. Well, if it's a proper day, they got 1 in 7 chance of getting it right. You think God's going to hold it against them? Yeah, you didn't get the right day. You had to guess, but you got it wrong. 1 in 7. No, it's not how it works. That's why Romans 14 talks about, says, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he was weak, eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. So if we're supposed to worship on, or just have one day, particular day, like the Sabbath day on Saturday, held above all the others, then why does Paul the Apostle say one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike? Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. If we're obligated to worship on a certain day, Paul shouldn't say that. Shouldn't say each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He should say, no, you've got to worship on this day. But he didn't. The reason is because we're free. We're no longer under the law, and we don't have to follow the law in order to please God, because Christ is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And we're free to worship on any day, and we're free to work on any of those days. And it's good, though, to have a day we set aside in order to give glory and rest to God. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I like your name too, Natasha. All right. It's a nice name. All right.
Thank you. Oh. Bye.
Okay. God bless. Bye. All right. That was Natasha. And let's get to Clyde from New York. Hey, Clyde. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah. How you doing, Matt?
Doing all right.
So I was listening to you a few times. So I wanted to ask, have you ever been persecuted for your faith?
Absolutely,
because,
yes.
Ever since I've shown that I don't want to sin anymore, I've been like tracked by people who don't want to see me change. You know, I don't want to sin anymore, so I feel like I was put in a coma from a diabetes, and when I got out, I felt like I was a tracking device was put on me, because everywhere I go, there's people popping up when I take a walk, like in the park. Homosexuals, like, asking me to come into the bush.
That kind of stuff. So you're just telling me that you're being persecuted for your faith?
Yes. Okay. I feel like a tracking device was put inside me while I was in the car.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And everywhere I go, I'm being tracked by people that
okay.
like to have sex with men.
Okay. Do you have, are you going to church?
I was trying to look for a church.
Okay. What I'd like you to do is to find a church in your area. And, Charlie, maybe you could put that link in there. It's, what's this, .edu? Oh, man, I want to get the address. So I can tell you to go on the web and look for a website that will tell you what good churches there are in the area. And they exist.
Okay.
And it's right there at the tip of my tongue. Charlie will put it in the text there, and I'll tell you what it is. But you need to find a good church in your area, and you need to be involved with the elders of the church. You need to talk to them about this. So it's tms.edu, tms.edu, all right? And then it'll on that homepage, it'll have a link for finding a church, tms.edu. All right? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You got
to
speak up. Still can't hear you, buddy.
To sin anymore?
I'm sorry.
I said, have you ever been persecuted because you chose not to sin anymore?
Of course. Well, not to sin anymore. I mean, that's different than being in a situation where you don't want to participate in somebody else's sin and they mock you for it. I've had that happen many, many times. I've been swatted where people, someone called the police and said that I shot and killed my wife, and that the police and the SWAT team showed up at my house, guns drawn and everything. I had to walk out in the house backwards and everything. So that's happened. I've been followed in cars. I've been threatened with lawsuits. I've had Satanists threaten to kill my family and me. I've had it. I've been kicked out of Baptist church for teaching, for affirming that God predestines people, because that's what the Bible says. Oh, yeah. I've been threatened by a Mormon with death. Not that all Mormons do that. They don't. I'm just saying a Mormon has threatened me with death by saying the Danites are still around and they knew who I was. And I've been persecuted by Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. Threatened. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's part of being a Christian.
Yeah, so also...
Gotta speak up.
It's I'm against the, taking the shot that I'm not sure what's inside of it, so it's kind of hard.
When you say what's inside of you, you're saying things that cause me to want to tell you to get involved with a church and start talking to the elders. You need to find a good church. Go to tms.edu. Okay? So tms.edu. Go there and look up what's a good church. It's on the right-hand side. It's the Master's Seminary, TMS. And you can go to the search thing there, and you can, you know, find a church. But you need to do that. You need to get involved with the church, because I can tell. You need to get involved with the church. You need to have the elders minister to you about a lot of stuff. Okay, brother?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. All right. Well, God bless. All right. Hey, we got about a few seconds left in the show. Lord, by God's grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. And I hope that everyone enjoyed the show. And thanks to those who prayed for me of my sickness during that week. And, you know, thanks for Luke for doing the show. I had a great time. And may the Lord bless you. And by his grace, back on there tomorrow, folks. We'll talk to you then. Have a good evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.